Man, I've got certain information, all right? Certain things have come to light, and, you know, given the nature of all this new shit, you know, this could be a lot more complex. I mean, it might not be just such a simple, you know?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Four Thumbs Up. My name is Robin Koppel. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, I am joined each and every week by my best bud, Bobby Bethke. What is up, dude?
Hello, comma Robin.
And this week we saw I, Tonya, starring Margot Robbie. And yeah, let's get into what we thought about it. Starting off, Bobby, what did you think, sir?
I really, really loved it. It was super loved it. Good. Wow. Yeah, I thought it was... yeah. It was. I kind of watched it in the context of Molly's Game, about just for whatever reason, just because there was kind of the two movies that had kind of trickled in to the place where I was watching. And they're both about true stories about famous women, and they were both super, super fun. But this one I thought had a little bit more depth to it than Molly's Game did, and I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, which is interesting because Molly's Game plays it like straighter and like more dramatic or whatever, but I, Tonya like has the depths, but also the whatever you'd call it, the comedy, I guess, which is like, that's kind of the biggest like thing that first pops out at you as you see this movie, is the tone of it. You know, it's so interesting and like kind of switches back and forth, but it feels natural. But it's like it's a funny movie at times, you know. It's like got some energy to it.
Oh, yeah, that point where Alice and Janney just goes, she's like, well, my storyline is disappearing, what the fuck? And then it cuts away immediately.
It's the best. And then she, like, doesn't come back. Yeah, it's really
No,
funny.
She doesn't come back for, like, 30 minutes.
Remember when they announced this movie? And for, like, 7 months, we thought it was going to be, like, a dramatic, gritty, by-the-numbers Oscar bait biopic, you know, type thing. And then the first trailer came out and we were like, what?
Yeah.
But it's so refreshing, like, and having seen it now, I'm like, there's no way you could have possibly told the story and made it like palatable to like all audiences, especially people like us that know that it happened but like we didn't live through it or whatever. And like, you know, we don't know the story. Approaching the story that way, I thought really helped the whole experience of the thing and like its effectiveness, you know.
Yeah, I mean, well, I remember there was a news headline that came out that when Margot Robbie, when she first got the script, she didn't think it was real. She was shocked that it was a true story.
Oh,
and I
wow.
Think so, that, yeah. And I honestly, there were a couple times where I had the same incredulous reaction. So I get where she's coming from. But yeah, I agree with you that the way they filmed it worked perfectly for the story, for just how crazy her life is. If they had tried to do it a different way, it would have been... It would have felt like the
less
most
believable
Oscar Beatty movie ever. But
yeah.
Instead, like, they have this great, great movie that they made.
Yeah, like it. That there are times like, there's been a few quote unquote true story movies in the past, like however long, where you're watching it and you have to remind yourself it's impossible to conceive that this is a thing that actually happened in real life. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like they're not even well. They are kind of taking, it's an interesting question, like whether they take liberties and their kind of approach to it and their like the relationship with the truth. It's almost like the thesis of the whole movie is like that it's not necessarily, you know, they start off with this title card that's like based on like wildly contradictory and unironic interviews with these various people, you know?
Yeah.
And like.
But totally true is what they said.
Yeah, totally. Right, exactly. But like there's a period where you don't know. The audience is kind of left in some kind of darkness about who actually did it or whatever. Like, there's a period of time when you don't think Sebastian Stan had anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, after a twist and after she gives him up and, you know, he seems to plead guilty in one way or another. It's just, it's interesting. Because it either had to take a stand, like a hard stand, or what the truth was or whatever, or, like, do this really kind of flirting with both possibilities or whatever.
Yeah, see, the thing that I liked more about this than Molly's Game is that I, Tonya, Molly's Game is almost purely plot, which, when you have Aaron Sorkin writing it, is awesome. but the whole movie was basically all plot, whereas this one was also for the most part, plot, and then interspersed with those interviews, kind of adding the depth to it. And what I liked about this one was that it didn't necessarily, like, there were a few big themes, but it also touched on a lot of different ideas to kind of try to paint as full of a picture of her life as possible, which I think was, I was very impressed that they managed to pack in so much plot, because, I mean, it goes from, like, you have a very brief period when she's, like, 6, and then a brief period when she's 15, and then it goes in depth in those couple years when she's getting ready for the Olympics. But it covered a lot of plot story, but also a lot of thematic material that I was impressed by the number of kind of things they were able to check off on the list that were interesting.
Yeah, like, it's not just about ice skating, and it's not just about whatever her personal relationships or whatever. It's like, and they also have time to fit in the entire ridiculous story of the incident, which, like,
unbelievable.
unbelievable. But they could have been forgiven for making the entire movie about that, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it also feels like substantial enough, and like enough of the movie, like the right amount of time spent on it, you know?
Yeah, it's one of the most fully realized biopics I've seen in a long time, at least in the sense that you get a wholesome picture of the individual.
Yeah, but it also doesn't feel like they're going through the paces and like they have to do this childhood scene and this teenage scene or whatever, you know? It just
right,
feels
yeah.
like people throw around, I throw around the phrase takes you on a ride like way too often, you know, but like you're along for it. And it's kind of like a whirlwind at points, and mm-hmm. even sequences where she's spinning around and then the camera switches like a whirlwind, you know, but so this is actually one of the, like, the main things that jumps out at you when you think about this movie. It's like the most obvious aspect is the acting and the performances of all these guys, not the least among them, obviously, Margot Robbie in the lead. But I thought it was really cool how there was these actors that you don't, some of them I haven't seen in forever, and some of them I haven't seen ever, and then one of them I've only seen be a superhero, you know, but it's like it wasn't stunt casting or like casting a good name for a role or whatever. It was like they cast for the roles, you know, just as you should. They showed at the end their real life counterparts, and it was so uncanny.
The one of, like, Sean was unbelievable.
It's so funny.
It was exactly the same.
And that was the funniest thing I read online. People were like, it really annoyed me how dumb Sean was the whole time. Like, it wasn't believable at all. And then and then I stayed to the credits, and they actually showed the
exact... Various espionage agencies. What the fuck?
Poor guy. And let's start with him. Let's go, I guess, bottom to top or whatever.
Yeah.
Sean is an absolute scene stealer in this movie too. Like, he's so good. It's like, you know, when Harry Potter, and this is a long stretch I'm going to go on to get to this point, but buckle up. But
would you say we're going on a ride?
Yeah, absolutely. It was my first experience of, you hated that character so much, and connecting the dots to realize that that's that actress being so good that you hated that character so much. Like, you, like, traditionally mm-hmm. it was always like the hero is such a good actor because you like him or whatever, but like to portray someone that you literally want to strangle the whole movie, you know, and be funny the whole time. Like, he wrote this line because he was 100% a punchline for the first however long in the movie, but then when he actually did these horrible, idiotic,
yeah, he's like the angel
things.
Of death for yes. the rest of the movie.
So, with that, and like the smile on his face and the stupidity, like, takes on a whole different, like,
oh, his whole speech about being the mastermind behind
oh,
the
it was,
death threats,
it was actually kind of scary.
Oh my god, it's just like, this is what happens when people that stupid have that much power.
That's another thing, like, they like, I consider it a theme of the movie, is like, just stupid people.
I know. Yeah.
Like, just doing stupid things, you know? Oh my gosh. Oh, it's so crazy. But yeah, so he was so funny, and I've never seen that guy before.
I hadn't either.
But great.
Yeah.
Really funny.
He nailed it.
He delivered, I'm making a list of my top, like, favorite jokes of the movie year.
Uh-huh.
And yet another of my top 5 favorite jokes of the year that was ruined in the trailer, but still kills every theater, and every time I watch it I bust out laughing. I don't know what Tony Harden
burps.
Oh, it's so funny, dude. Yeah, so I mean, that's just great. Yeah, so he, very interesting character and very important character for this movie, shockingly, you know.
I love the fact that her skating career
rests in the hands.
At least it's hilarious in the movie, and it's so sad that this happened in real life, but in the movie it's unbelievable that it was brought down because he wanted to increase pay for bodyguards.
Oh, right. That was his ultimate plan. When he's like, there's a very specific moment in that scene when, like, it's just setting in and, like, Sebastian Stan, like, puts his head in his hands and Sean's going, like, and then the money's just going to start coming in, man. Yeah. More bodyguard. It's like, how could you possibly think that this would lead to that in, like, a clean enough way? You know, like, oh, my gosh, darn. Just crazy. And that's, like, the core of, like, the story being the craziest story that's ever been told, basically.
Yeah, I mean, you're right that he's got to straddle that line between being hilarious and just deeply stupid and...
And
incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
And he did really, really well.
Yeah. Are you ready for like a pretentious hot take point right now?
Oh, yeah.
His character is a microcosm of the tone of the film. Because he has to represent all those things at once and like play it off and still be like legit. He has to be funny and be the serious weight of things and... you know, feel real or whatever, you know?
I think you're right. Would you say he's the hero? No, I'm just kidding.
He's the villain, certainly.
He's the hero of his own story.
Okay, yeah. Moving on. Sebastian Stan, who I...
Great mustache.
Great mustache. A lot of people had been saying, like, I'd never heard him talk before or not talk as a Winter Soldier or whatever. I'm not sure if it's his real voice, but, like, when they played the real guy in the credits, it was uncanny how much he sounded like him.
Well, I read that he did the same thing Franco did with Tommy Wiseau, where he just drove around listening to tons and tons of tapes of him talking.
That is so cool, dude. I will never get tired of, like, hearing stories like that of, like,
Do you want to know what Jared Leto did for Blade Runner?
No, I don't. See, that was my next point. it's not quite Daniel Day and Jared Leto being just so annoying, you know?
Okay, but Daniel Day-Lewis is a good actor.
No, I know, but you don't have to make shoes for 2 years.
What if he's just trying to build his portfolio, man? What if the blackout comes out?
Dude, do it in 18 months and get the movie made.
You know? Did you see that for Phantom Thread, he learned how to sew and handcraft this incredibly complicated dress?
From scratch? Yeah. Yes, I did freaking read that.
This is completely off topic, but nothing will ever beat you telling me that Harrison Ford was Jared Leto's hero, but he never actually met him because he wore blinding contacts for Blade Runner.
He never got to see him. Oh, it's so funny, dude. Yeah. But all of that is to say, I really liked him as well.
And I think I was most impressed by how Jeff Gillooly is shown to be such a terrible, abusive person. But yeah. Sebastian Stan plays him off with such comedy when the comedy is meant to be on screen, and then enough kind of rage that you're always reminded that he's a shitty person. I was very impressed. You're totally right that all these characters are straddling these lines, and Sebastian Stan is obviously one of them, and he did a really good job of threading that needle.
Yeah, the first time they start being violent, or he starts being violent to her especially, in a lot of other movies and a lot of other characters, that's like close the book on ever being interested in him at all or giving him the time of day or like being sympathetic to him in any way at all, you know? We mentioned this off mic a second ago, but just the way they approached all this violence, and there was a lot of violence and abuse in all these relationships in like a really awful way, in a way that's not funny at all, but like these are still the characters we're with for the whole movie. We're meant to stick with them the whole time, you know, like we're in their world, I guess. And it's like a precarious balance to even like think you could pull that off of like,
you know. What shocked me the most was how much Margot Robbie in her narration would always just blow off the abuse.
Oh,
which I guess that must just be an insight into what Tanya was feeling at the time. Yeah. So in a way it's true to the story as well. But yeah, I mean, her life is just so hard.
Dude, it's so, like, the one thing you take away, and this is skipping ahead to talking about Margot Robbie and stuff, but the one thing you take away from this movie is, like, just sympathy pouring out of every part of your body. Sympathy for Tonya Harding. Like, it's ridiculous, her life, you know?
Like, every time she goes and says that something wasn't her fault, you always want to be like, just shut up, maybe just own up to your decisions. But at the same time, you're reminded that her life is just so difficult that, I mean, why wouldn't that be her reaction?
No, yeah, like, that's how I would, you know, when the dust settles, it's like, yeah, of course, like, the fact that you got out of bed every morning is a stunning achievement, you know?
Yeah, just seriously.
Like, she did it. She did everything against all odds, and she was so proud of herself, you know, like, those interviews, and I love how they're, like, letterboxed, like, they're, like, a different aspect ratio. Those are, like, extremely well done and really, like, I guess, revealing of, like, that's, like, where you get the personal stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I like that. But, yeah, like, what we were saying back to Sebastian Stan, like, it is kind of fun to watch him just melt down and, like, like, there's, like, a 20-minute stretch where every scene is just him screaming. And yeah. Like, you know, like, that's pretty good.
Or the time where he's self-aware enough to say that he was thinking, which isn't his strong suit.
Oh, yes. It's
brutal.
Yeah. It's a crazy tightrope. But, yeah.
Well, to segue, you know who didn't really have to walk a tightrope was Allison Janney.
Dude,
she was just evil.
Going for it. Yeah, like, again and again, like, she's also super funny throughout, but also, like, she is, like, the one where, like, I have no sympathy. Like,
no, not at all.
Like, ridiculous, you know, just so awful.
But then her performance is so strong that you so clearly see the convictions behind her mother.
That's how you play a villain. You know, Marvel movies don't have good villains or whatever. Like, whenever there's a good villain, it's that you can kind of see what they're talking about or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, like, get their point. See it from their point of view a little, but, like, not at all, but you know what I mean. Like, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, what she says in the diner, where she says that her sacrifice was making her daughter hate her, which is just bullshit. But you can clearly tell that she believes it.
And just, yeah, and it, like, minute to minute, every kind of scene she's in, you kind of, like, see those wheels turning of, like, rationalizing and, like, her weird messed up worldview. You know, just kind of, like,
every time she's giving the entire world the side eye while smoking a cig, you can tell.
Yeah, but she's exceptional, and, you know, she just won the Golden Globe.
Yeah, dude, last night. Golden Globes, love it.
Yeah, tune in to.
You know why Three Billboards won a bunch of stuff? Because it was foreigners who were voting.
Dude, this is not about the Golden Globes. It's been days since that happened when this podcast goes up, but. So bad. So many great films got shut out for no stupid reason. And then, you know, whatever.
I'm telling you, man, foreigners love Three Billboards because they don't understand America. I'm telling you.
It's such a take you have. And, you know, I do get it a little bit, but. Okay, so this, in our tour of the lead characters in this film, leads us to the most important by a mile character and actor in this film, which is Margot Robbie as Tonya Harding. Lights out good, dude. Like,
oh yeah, know. Just yeah, I thought she was perfect.
Yeah, like, and it helped, at least for me. I don't know about you, but I had never even seen Tonya Harding like what she looked like at all, you know. I never even, you know. It was really easy just to, like. And she also didn't look like, this is such a simple point, but she didn't look like Margot Robbie as much. Like, you know, she kind of, like, committed, like, physically.
She wore braces for it.
Yeah. Being able to, like, a tiny little subset of actors that can pull off playing, like, a much younger version of themselves. But she, like, crazy good. All the big set piece, like, you know, fighting with her mom type moments or whatever, those are handled perfectly, of course, but, like, what I really thought was most impressive were the one-on-one interviews and, you know, times when she was alone. You know, like, everyone's pointing to that scene at the very end when she's trying to smile and she's crying. Like, dude, I mean, those tears came naturally. Like, they, and, like,
Oh, that, well, the scene where she gets her court sentence is unbelievable.
Oh my gosh, yeah, and that, ooh, yeah, I forgot about that because I was so invested in during that moment. Yeah, I
mean, that's like, that was one of the best scenes I had seen, of acting I had seen all year. I was so impressed because it seemed like every single scene she had to portray a different emotion, and while at the same time being in the background with the narration and commentary, adding comedy to everything that is happening in her life. And I thought that she didn't back down from any single aspect of it. And there's the scene of her trying to smile. There's a scene of her in the courtroom. There's a scene of her landing the triple axel.
Just
pure joy on her face. Plus Tonya Harding's life is so complex in the sense that so many things have happened to her that having to portray somebody who has felt almost every emotion it seems you could feel must just be so hard, but you just never think for a second that she's acting.
Yeah, totally. And in the scenes when she's like skating in front of the world and whatever, I don't know this to be true, but I'm sure they like did like painstaking recreation of what it looked like and like the moves she did physically and stuff, you know, like, well, like, and there's a whole physical aspect to it. Like, she obviously learned to skate a little bit, you know, that there are some, a few glaring, face replacement, body double, CGI type moments, you know.
Well, I mean, no one, so apparently there's, so there, I think there are only two or three people in the world that can land the triple axel, and they didn't want to be, and they didn't want to be in the film. So they had to completely CGI that landing.
Oh, that's not even a person?
I don't think so.
Wow, that's incredible, actually.
Yeah,
but it was super cool. Yeah, it reminded me of, like, Battle of the Sexes when Emma Stone, like, raised her arms like Billie Jean King did, like, perfectly, like you've seen it a million times. Like, I feel like they did a lot of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So to, like, have to do that kind of, like, classic biopic accuracy and, like, she's almost in, like, two movies at once because she's doing the looser tone and the serious stuff. Underneath,
well, yeah, thing, she's portraying a passive character in the recounting of Tonya's life, and then she's playing an active character in the potentially unreliable narration in the background.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like Molly's Game, where like every moment is either her on screen or her narrating or both. But it's like even more almost. It just feels like, you know, more going on. You know.
Yeah. I feel like she's just always right beneath the surface of every frame of this movie, in a good way.
Yeah. I mean, the movie's called I, Tonya, obviously.
Yes.
Cut that out. Or not. You're the editor. It's up to you, man. So her whole performance and the whole arc of the character, really, the whole movie kind of builds up to this, like, take on Tonya as a character in real life, as like a sympathetic character. I feel like that's almost the main intention of the movie, is just to like basically give her time in the spotlight and like share her humanity with all these people, because like there's people like us that don't really know, but they just heard like a lady did a crazy thing one time.
Yeah, I think the first time I heard about her was my math teacher in eighth grade told us the story of Tonya Harding, and that was it. I had never heard of her before then, or really after.
Right. And then there's people that live through it that apparently just there was like just this mountain of hate because they thought she broke her knee with her own bare hands or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Like, which is just so crazy to. And she's 22 this whole time or whatever. Like, it's just nuts.
I mean, she lived an entire life by the time she was 23.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the whole point of it is to like give her representation, like a fair shake as this person, like telling her whole story, and just the thing you want to have happen when you see a movie like this is that the subject was deserving of depiction in film, which is like just, you know,
I mean, she's a fascinating story. The thing that I didn't know about her was how good she was. So when she mentions almost offhand in one of her first narration bits that she was the first American woman to ever land the triple axel, I had just kind of like an oh damn moment.
It's crazy. But
I mean, it was, and the thing that I think you're right in that this movie is fair in the sense that you get you finally get the full picture of what her life is like, because I feel like you can never really truly judge something until you have the context of it. and right. it contextualizes her entire life and decisions up to why she would even. Well, it's and we see that she wasn't the one who decided to hurt Nancy Kerrigan, but you see why she would. You see a lot of why the context behind her motivations.
Yeah, but at the same time, it has this kind of light kind of quality to it. Like, I am really curious what you thought about all the needle drops in this one, because we've been really hard on David Ayer and Suicide Squad before about like all the soundtracks to everything, you know, pop, you know, classic 80s songs or whatever.
I loved it, except I had one massive gripe where yeah. they're playing The Chain by Fleetwood Mac.
Right.
And they played the whole song. It's like a 4-minute song. They play the whole song in the background during the most, in my opinion, one of the most emotionally hard-hitting scenes, where Tanya is saying that we're also to blame for her suffering because of our need to have somebody to hate as an American media-consuming culture. And there's Fleetwood Mac barely in the background for like a minute. And I was so... It totally took me out of the movie. It made me so mad because I was like, I should be feeling really hit hard by this. But instead, I'm thinking of that stupid scene in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 with that uses this song. And I was like, why is that happening?
They did share like four... No, not four. At least two Guardians of the Galaxy songs, which I'm not even that mad at. But that is a very important scene to talk about because... clearly everyone involved was like, this is like the point we're making, and we are not going to be subtle about it at all, you know?
Yeah.
But and then I don't know,
why did they stick music there? I don't get it.
I mean, it was at the end of a montage or whatever, but like my thing was the whole like look straight at the camera and implicate the audience and I'm supposed to feel bad too or whatever, like but I just don't quite know if it played off perfectly. Like,
do you think that's because you didn't live through it?
That certainly is a thing. Like, if I had lived through it and I had like read in Us Weekly about Nancy Kerrigan or whatever, and like had a thought about Tonya Harding, I would probably feel really bad. But I don't know. Just the whole like, of course everyone is to blame or whatever. But like the whole like inflicting guilt on the audience or like making the audience feel bad, it's a cool effect. It's like an extremely powerful effect. But I don't know. It felt like just a tiny bit like. Annoyingly dramatic, you know, a little bit. I'm not expressing it well because if you express it.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I don't know if Tonya Harding is really capable of being that subtle from the way that she's portrayed in this movie.
right. Or self-aware. I mean, I that's like a very, like, a lot of the conclusions she voices in those interview segments are like someone who's been to therapy and like finished therapy, you know, and like knows like I was 7.5 years old when this happened or what, you know, stuff like that. It's cool. Like, I respect them going for it, you know?
Yeah. That scene worked for me because it's very easy for me to imagine being someone who heard the story on the news and then just avidly watched the Olympics waiting for a disaster to happen.
Yeah.
And then it was easy to jump into the mob and pitchforks about Tonya Harding when the scandal initially broke. And then watching this movie and hearing that, I think it does change your interpretation of it, if you've lived through it or not. But I think that it is... I think that for the people who had and who might have had the reaction that Tanya hoped they wouldn't, it was probably pretty impactful, which I give them props for.
The only other thing is I kind of like when my movies are like slightly left up to interpretation, just a little bit at least, you know? And this was like...
But at the same time, they didn't really cover that much of how America wants somebody to hate. I felt that they honestly could have done more
true.
With that.
That's very
Did you?
True. Yeah. I only... heard about it afterwards that she was so like universally hated or whatever, like, because you see her walking through crowds of people and they're shouting and asking questions, but it's not like cascades of boos. She might have done a really good job of handling it, you know, like smiling through it or whatever, but you don't feel that it was so just as soul crushing as it would have been, as it probably was, you know, in real life, to be just to have the hate, you know, for no reason, undeserved.
Yeah, I wonder if they avoided that just because it would have made it felt
too heavy.
I feel like that almost would have made it felt too biased.
Oh yeah.
If they had said that, and also because everybody, except people who are around our age or younger would know the context of it and know how hated she was. But yeah, that was one of the few complaints I had about the movie, where I kind of expected more from that angle, but almost everything else I thought it was just done expertly.
Yeah.
As far as painting the portrait of all the ridiculous shit that happened to her.
Yeah, and to hop onto that metaphor you just used there, I would say that this movie kind of used all the colors in all the frick, I didn't do it right. Gosh darn it.
Keeping that in.
Gosh darn it. Used all the brushes in the paint kit. What's the expression? Gosh darn it.
Tools in your toothbrush?
Like, you know, there's an expression that's like, you know, paint with all the colors of the wind. That's Pocahontas. No, but like, you know, the whole palette, the whole color palette or something like that, you know, like the full range of what was available to them as filmmakers, because this movie did not have to be interesting from a filmmaking perspective, but I really thought it was like super cool.
I love the way they shot it.
Like, you can have like a big draw your attention scene stealing long take sequence, and those are great. Mm-hmm. But this one had like three or four like slightly subtle, expertly like super like done for purpose, like super cool long take sequences, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they're often done just for
show,
such gravitas of the director. Yeah. And that they can pull it off, but it worked perfectly in this one. I mean, can we talk about the ice skating scenes? Yeah.
Well,
those were some of the most engaging scenes I had seen all year.
Yeah, also they were all slightly different, you know, depending on where we were in the movie. Mm-hmm. And stuff, you know. But the scene that, like, my jaw was on the floor was the last scene where she breaks the lace. And, you know, that whole scene is one shot from the locker room onto the ice, skating around with her. All the emotions she feels. Mm-hmm. Like, it's incredible from Margot. But just, like, choosing to make that scene
great one choice. Take
is so impressive and exciting. Like, because, like, sitting there as, like, an armchair filmmaker or whatever, I was like, it would be dope. The second time this week that I had something really cool to say in the freaking blender, dude. Gosh darn it.
I kind of want to keep that in too. Yeah, I'll take that.
No, go ahead. I mean, if it's funny, it's funny, you know.
It's too funny.
Last time I just talked through it, which is fine too. You know, like, I've just kind of come to accept that, like, the TV's going to be on, and, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. So sitting here as, like, an armchair filmmaker, thinking, like, it would be dope if this scene was done in one take, because it would be, like, the perfect version of what that scene could be and, like, how it could be, like, engaging and artful for the themes or whatever. But, like, the only problem is it would be super hard to do, and you could totally understand why they wouldn't do it for myriad reasons. But then they did it, dude, and that is, like, that is so exciting, you know. And it's, like, you see.
And just acting that out is so impressive, dude, and as
like,
well.
They couldn't hide behind a body double for that on the ice. Like, that's totally her on the ice. And, like, mm-hmm. you see her come out, try to put a face on, try to do some moves. Like, the moves don't work because of the skate, like, smiling through tears and then, like, breaking down, like, on all in, like, a
minute?
3 or 4 minutes, you know, yeah. Like, just really, yeah, super cool.
And it's silent. There's no music at that point.
Is that true? Oh, yeah. Okay. But the other one that was really cool was what you've mentioned, was the courtroom scene. When they just hang on her, like, you know, you could have cut away for a different angle or whatever, but they just, like, stayed there, and like, I didn't notice until you mentioned it today that it was a one take, because it's just so, like, that is like such an intense moment for the whole, you know. And then the other ones that I noticed, there might have been more, but like the one where it's like a sequence of Jeff like losing his mind for some reason, you don't even remember why. But like, he's in every room, and like they like hide the cuts in a cool way. Like, those are always fun. Those are the more showy ones, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it, like, no, keep going.
No, I'm done.
Well, I want to talk about that Goodfellas comment.
Yeah, so the log line of this movie, whatever reviewer saw it 6 months ago at Sundance or whatever, and was like, hey, they talk to the camera, and it's like, you know, there's some crime or whatever, so I'm going to call this the Goodfellas of ice skating. And I haven't seen Goodfellas. All I know is they have those sequences where there's narration, and they, you know.
Well, yeah, they don't talk to the camera, but yeah, a lot of narration. Well, they also aped a lot of Scorsese style, and Scorsese does like to do those long tracking shots, but he also loves doing those quick swooping track-ins a lot, and they had lots of those, especially in the ice skating scenes.
Oh.
And so the way they shot it, I think that's a fair comment from the way they shot it as far as comparing it to Goodfellas. Also the style of the way the movie just kind of is in your face a little bit about her story. I don't know if it's as good as Goodfellas, but it's a really, really good movie for sure. And I think that's the fact that you can even make that comparison is pretty awesome about this movie.
Wow. You know, I have been like in my little snarky know-nothing whatever corner thinking that it was like a cheap, not smart thing to say, but like that I had no idea that was so accurate, that it actually is the Goodfellas of ice skating. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Cool. But yeah, you know, I think that's all about I had to say that I can think of right now. But yeah, is that all you have, or?
I think so. I mean, yeah, I mean, like, I was just so impressed at how I feel like after watching this movie, I have full context to understand her life up to the point that it covers. And
right.
That tag where it says that she wants you to know that she's a good mother, like, you totally know why she would want that to be in the movie after seeing this movie. That is so impressive to me, let alone the performances or the way they shot it and the humor. But the fact that I feel like I can walk away from this movie with a full comprehension of who Tanya Harding is so impressive to me.
Yeah. It's the way you just listed all those things that are all huge parts of what this movie is. Like, it's like, it's got so much going on, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
it's full and real and, like, you know, not.
It has so many balls in the air at the same time, the entire duration of the movie, but you never feel distracted.
No. And it's really funny.
Yeah.
Which it did not have to do at all, but, like, truly hilarious moments, mm-hmm. you know, throughout, which is amazing. This might sound like lofty and annoying, but like, what you want from a movie, you know, to entertain you, to make you feel, to make you laugh, to make you, you know, like, it's kind of anything a movie could be. Like, it's
all different, cheap.
Or overstuffed, or jumping between.
There were no harsh tonal shifts at all.
No. Like, it just feels like life, you know. There's funny moments and serious moments, you know. It's just really cool. But also stylized. Like, it's just like, there's just so much going on, but it feels normal. It's great. Yeah. All right, well, I'm good, man.
Yeah, me too. This is a dope movie.
Yeah, I definitely, definitely recommend it. It's like, it's just a good filmic experience.
One of the most enjoyable experiences you can have for anything that's in theaters, yeah.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the comma thing. me and Bobby have been texting back and forth plans or whatever, like, oh, I'm gonna go see this movie, blah, blah, blah. Every single time he mentions I, Tanya, he types I, a comma, and then Tanya. Every single time. And
I was like,
the first time I was like, oh, did your phone autocorrect that? That's interesting. And he was like, no, I went to the second page of characters and clicked a comma and then went back into Tanya. And it's just, I don't know why it's so specifically annoying to me.
I'm a businessman. I'm not a businessman.
Like, I'm all for, you know, title accuracy or whatever, but just like, it's I, Tanya, man. It's not I, whatever.
But it's not I, Robot. It's I, Tanya, you know?
I, Robot has a comma too.
Oh.
Shit. And you don't respect that movie the same way. Dude, I don't need the comma every time we're talking about it over text.
All right, man.
When in the same thread you misspelled like Australia or whatever, you know. Just, Yeah. Yeah. I mean, whatever. So, yeah. I, comma, Tanya in theaters. This it's ridiculous. Like, like 20 times, 30 times.
Oh, like he's 50 like, times, yeah.
And he knows it annoys me. And I can't explain why it annoys me.
Whatever. I do it for the fans.
Yeah. Okay. That now I'm officially done. But yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Listen to our other stuff. Share this link on iTunes if you're going to share it with anybody. And yeah. Thanks, Bob.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys.
All right. See you later. I just want to see the light. All right, that is our show, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Just some plug time here. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, and Patreon at Four Thumbs Pod to continue the conversation or support if you're so inclined. Questions, comments, constructive criticism, all welcome. Our theme song is Light by San Holo. Our logo was found on Google Images. You can find this podcast on iTunes, Spreaker, and YouTube. And please share that iTunes link if you share it with anybody. Thank you so much to our lovely podcast hosts, Spreaker.com. Thanks to Bobby for being awesome as always, and join us very soon for another conversation. Thanks, guys. Have a great one.